Hello and welcome to the Centre for Cities podcast. The Centre for Cities is the first port of call for independent research and policy analysis focusing on UK city economies. For more information on this series or our broader research and events programme, please visit www.centreforcities.org.
Well, welcome, Samarit Kokel, Chair of the LGA. Delighted to be talking to you about a report that the Centre for Cities is launching today, Breaking Boundaries, which is all about supporting economic growth through working together across economic boundaries. And as you know, we're arguing very much that in order to support economic growth, places need to work together, but in a way that works best for them. And what we're arguing is if you work together more formally through combined authorities, then you should get more powers. Less formally, slightly fewer powers, but ultimately it's up to places to work out what works best for them and how best to do that. I'd be really interested in your thoughts on, does this matter? I mean, does working together really make a difference when it comes to economic growth?
Well, it's a fascinating report, and I'm very pleased to have been asked to give some comments on it. Actually, it fits very nicely with work that we've been doing in the Local Government Association, both for cities and city regions, but also for areas around cities and rural areas as well. And there's a lot of sense that covers the whole variety of local government in England in particular. I think it does make a difference, and there's plenty of evidence now where you can see in cities a whole variety of different models and new ones being created the whole time. That are beginning to have an impact, and actually when you look at them you wondered, frankly, you know, why we didn't do a lot of this a long time ago. And people can always quote, you know, lots of examples of perhaps the most established, and you know, whether it's Triborough in West London, or whether it's I suppose Manchester being, you know, the prime example of just how tenant authorities and a wider group have been able to work effectively, and the impact is visible on the ground, and, you know, could not have been done in any other way than, you know, willing cooperation. Yes, getting powers from government, but it couldn't have happened without a preparedness of those areas within a larger city to actually cooperate, work together, look for ways through, and not ways of things preventing that. Mm-hmm. So a willingness has got to be at the very core of it. But I think the evidence that the trailblazers have shown have given, I think, the other cities and city regions across the country the knowledge that really what is possible, and that's now being seen in the different models, as you say. You know, if it suits your area, then you can go for, you know, the maximum. You can make the pitch to government and get as many powers as you can. But if you're not, if this is an evolving, you know, building that trust, building that experience in a slower way, in a way that suits the confidence of your area, perhaps, then do it that way. Of course, we need government to change as well. It's not,
yes,
it's not just simply that we have to. I think Tony Travers today used the word supplicant. I've used it as well, as being the sort of sometimes the relationship between national and local, and we need government to be willing to not make these exceptions to the rule, but actually make these different arrangements should be the rule, and actually the hoops that we have to jump through, that cities have to jump through, should be actually, you know, far more far lighter constraints.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at the evidence, it shows how important it is to work together and how much difference it can make. But there's lots of barriers, whether that's the economy doesn't match up to the boundaries, whether it's that one area bears all the costs but actually other areas get the benefits, through to the way that policy just doesn't really encourage you and incentivise you to work together. Mm-hmm. You mentioned national government needs to change. What kind of things would you like to see, and what would the LGA like to see from national government to really help places work together?
Well, I mean, we know that there are some things that government has to, you know, there might be legislative or powers that they have to, you know, legally pass to areas, particularly around taxation and things like that. We can't just simply tax without the power behind that, or indeed the variety of different sort of sources of income are very much controlled by Treasury, and that's understandable. But I think part of this is the message that government sends, actually, is, And if the mood of government or future government is that we are moving from a highly centralised state to passing those powers down, and the expectation is that, you know, we'll have to show that we're capable of it in communities and in cities, then that, you know, I think that's legitimate, that's right for national government with a mandate to be able to sort of set those broad expectations. But I think they need to be clear that that is the message. I think in other parts of the United Kingdom, you know, people understand that devolution, you know, that's been, you know, the big name, but however you want to describe it, the various stages it's at, whether it's, you know, most advanced in Scotland, and whatever happens with the referendum will only increase. Wales, or, you know, starting out on that road with its assembly, but now talking of fiscal powers. We know where they're going. And I think there's broad popular support in those two parts of the union for that. We haven't really had that debate in England. I think there is, maybe it's hidden away, maybe it's underlying support. I like to think there is support from people, and certainly we know they trust power being used closest to them, where they can have influence, if not control, over it through the ballot box and in other ways. But I think that government needs to set that tone and needs to set that direction. It doesn't need to give us permission, but it needs to say, needs to be clear that that is their wish as much as our wish. And I think that will make a big difference, because inevitably local government does look to national government for a lead, understandably so. Less so perhaps now, we're more willing to sort of get on with it ourselves without asking permission. But still, that's a legitimate role for national government, that leadership role. And I think particularly as we lead into the general election after the Scottish referendum, then that's the time for all the political parties to be setting out their stall and being clear if they believe, as I think we do in cities, and indeed in all parts of local public services, is that there's going to be a fundamental shift in power from the centre to local areas to cities, and that there is all the evidence you need to show that actually you're going to get, the state is going to get better value, better outcomes, better outputs as a result of that.
Absolutely. Just on the report, one of the things that we're arguing is that more places should have the kind of powers available to London. Not that London's got the perfect model, of course. I know that there's lots of very important debates about how the boroughs work with the mayor and the GLA, but some of the powers available around transport, around planning, around housing should be available elsewhere if you've got the kind of governance to go with it. What's the view of the LGA when it comes to those kind of arguments?
Yes, I see it from the LGA, but also see it as a former London leader and chair of London Council. So, you know, it's sort of, I've seen that evolution of a relationship. And it does take time. I talked about confidence and relationships and all those sort of the human side, which is, you know, structures are only one part of it, but actually how people operate, literally how leaders operate, how individuals operate is very important. And yes, it's no one would go back to London as it was pre-mayoralty, even though clearly there were lots of arguments. Now all the parties are clear that this has been really important for London, and it has changed London fundamentally by having the figurehead of a mayor, an authority which does some of the strategic stuff, but actually in London's model, sharing those powers and having very, very powerful boroughs. Now, you can't replicate that, and the history of other large cities is very different. So, you know, the Manchester case, where you have 10 authorities within the area, but Birmingham, clearly Greater Birmingham has more authorities, but Birmingham as a city is a single authority. So it will be done in different ways, but certainly the idea of having transport authorities must be perhaps the starting point. I mean, very often police authorities already are in those sort of larger models. That doesn't need to particularly change, but transport is at the very key of development of cities, isn't it? And unless those cities, those larger areas, have direct control, and that control is frankly not held in Whitehall, but is held in those areas, you've clearly got to sort out, as London has to sort out, the suburban lines, the commuter transport into the major cities, and that would apply just as much in other large cities in the country. That's complicated, but it's not impossible. But the core city transport has to be, and the investment has to be in the hands of those communities. And how they raise that money is key as well. And that shouldn't be constrained or controlled by, frankly, by Westminster and Whitehall. If it's right for their for that community to raise money through money investment through taxation, through a levy on a council tax or whatever, then that must be a legitimate decision for that area. We know that that money will be wisely, all the evidence is there, will be wisely used. But we've got to invest in transport, and that investment has got to apply throughout the country.
Wonderful. Samarika Kerr, thank you very much.